Father, I thank you this morning for your love, your goodness, your mercy to us, your people. Lord, I thank you that you love us so very much that you gave your only Son to pay the price for our sins. And so, Lord, we've gathered here today with grateful hearts, Lord, with open, receptive hearts. Lord, I just pray that you would speak into our hearts and lives, Lord, that your people might walk in the freedom of the truth of your word. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't get bullied. The devil came to church one day, and everybody run out. They must not have known the word. But there was one guy who stayed, and the devil approached him, and he said, "Don't you know who I am?" And he said, "Sure I do. You're the devil." He said, "Aren't you afraid?" He said, "Why should I be? I've been living with your sister for 20 years. A lot of jokes about the devil, but the truth is, he is public enemy number one. Polls show that approximately half of all Christians, not atheists, all Christians, don't really believe that the devil is a person. They either don't believe in him at all, or they think that he is just a symbol of evil, not a real person. But if you believe the Bible, let me tell you, from Genesis to Revelation, you see that Satan is real. There in the very beginning, at the fall of man, there was Satan, the deceiver. And all the way through to the book of Revelation, where we see him thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. But all through the Bible, we need to realize and understand that he is identified as our enemy, that he is working against us, that he is working against the plan and the purpose and the will of God. Now, we need to know who our real enemy is. A lot of times we get confused about that, you know, and in the world that we live in, there's other faiths and lots of conflict and struggles and battles and things that are going on. But we need to realize that our true enemy, our real fight, is against the powers of darkness. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Listen, he says very plainly, our fight, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You see, that's a trick of the devil, is to get people to fight against one another. In fact, in the body of Christ, the devil likes to get people to fight against one another. But our real enemy and our fight is against the powers of darkness. Now, I just want to say this morning that we all need to understand this. The devil is real, but he is not omnipresent. He is not omnipotent. He's not everywhere, and he's not all-powerful. Those attributes belong to God and God alone. Amen. Satan is a created being. He is a fallen angel, and he has no more power than God allows him to have. And he can't be everywhere at one time. Now, he certainly has demons and spiritual dark forces that are at work on his behalf. But the devil can't be anywhere but one place at a time. And you need to understand that he's not powerful like God is. See, some people kind of get the attitude and the mindset that the devil is just an evil opposite of God. That God has his power and the devil has his power. Listen, he is no match for God. God is all powerful. Listen, he is the creator. He's the only uncreated. And ultimately, he is the victor. Amen? But I just want to encourage you to realize that though the devil is real, he is not all-powerful, he's not omnipotent, and he can't read your mind until you open your big mouth. Another good reason we got to learn to keep our mouth shut, right? Because, you know, a lot of the time the devil doesn't know how much harm or devastation or how much fear he's brought into your life until you open your mouth. You know, we just need to be careful about letting the devil in on what's going on our battle on the inside. But I personally have never seen the devil. But I've seen his work every day. Every day in our world, we see the direct results of his schemes, of his devices, and the destruction that he brings. 1 John 3:8 says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Amen. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And that job is not over yet. Jesus is still destroying the works of the devil through his body, the church. He uses the church to destroy the works of the devil. Now, how do we do that? Well, when we do the works that Jesus did. Jesus came to, he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And when we minister to other people, when we lay hands on the sick and pray for them, we're destroying the work of the devil. When we minister the gospel to somebody and lead them to the Lord to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are destroying the work of the devil. When we share the truth of God's word with someone and they get set free, we're destroying the work of the devil. Yes. Amen. And listen, church, it's exciting to be a part of what God's doing in the earth today. Realize that Jesus is still destroying the work of the devil, and he's using his church. Now, a lot of Christians are just, as I said, they're unaware of the devil. They are unaware of his devices. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul said, "We are not ignorant of his devices." We need to be aware of the devil's tactics. We need to learn and know and understand how he works. The NIV uses the word schemes there. He's always planning, always scheming, always devising a way to bring heartache and pain and destruction into people's lives. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we need to be aware. We need to be ready. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, in the NIV it says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." You see, if we are fooled into believing that Satan is not real, then we won't recognize his schemes and his devices. We won't be ready for his attacks. Now, there's another extreme. I've met some believers who were just obsessed with the powers of darkness, so much so that they give too much glory to the devil. No, we need to realize that God is all-powerful. But at the same time, the devil is real, and the Bible admonishes us to be alert, to be ready, to be aware of his devices. Now, this is not in the Bible, but somebody created a list of Satan's beatitudes. This is Satan's beatitudes. "Blessed are those who are too tired, too busy, too distracted to spend an hour once a week with their fellow Christians in church. They are my best workers." Aren't you glad you're in church this morning? So the pastor's not talking about you? "Blessed are those who wait to be asked and expect to be thanked. I can use them in my business. Blessed are those who are touchy. Soon they'll stop going to church. Verily, they will be my missionaries. Blessed are those who sow trouble and strife. They are my beloved children. Blessed are those who have no time to pray, for they are my prey. Blessed are those who gossip, for they are my secret agents. Blessed are you when you read this and think it has everything to do with other people and nothing to do with you." Well, you know, the truth there is that any time that we hear the Word of God, we have to be willing to say, you know what, there's something here I need. We can't always be thinking, well, that's good for everybody else. I hope they're listening. No, in every message, God always has something for each one of us. And I believe the Lord will speak to you today through this Word. We need to be aware of Satan's devices. And one of the ways that Satan works is that he tries to bully people, especially born-again believers. Much of the time, he operates just like a bully. He uses the same tactics as a bully. You know, I actually think it's the other way around, that a bully uses the same tactics as the devil. But you can see how that the devil uses those bully tactics against people. Now, the first way that he acts like a bully, you see, the weapon that a bully always uses is fear. And Satan also always tries to use fear against people. I shared a couple of messages recently on Wednesday night about overcoming fear. And certainly as we are strong in the Word of God and build up our faith, Our faith will overcome our fears. But see, Satan will always try to bring fear against people. And when I talk about fear, I realize that there's a lot of us who maybe are not going to own up to being afraid of anything. But I just want to tell you that fear is that anxious feeling that comes over you. Fear is when something intimidates you to do something you shouldn't do and you do it anyway. Or it keeps you from doing something that you know you should do. You see, when the bully comes out of the playground or you pass him in the hall at school, you get all anxious. You hope he just passes by. Oh, here he comes. I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that have fear right now about things that are going on in our economy. They're all anxious and upset, stirred up. The bully is trying to intimidate, trying to bring in his fear. Listen, the same thing can happen when you're going through a struggle, a battle in your physical health, in your body. When you find out that something's wrong with you, you see, the devil can bring all that fear and try to intimidate you, scare you. That's the way a bully operates. If you don't do what I say, young people, he'll tell you, if you don't do this, you don't do that, then other people are going to think that you're not cool, that you're a dork. We call it peer pressure. But you know what? The same thing happens with adults. We think we got to do this, we got to do that. Listen, a lot of times people make compromises in how they do business because of fear. All kinds of ways that the devil tries to use anxiety to keep people from doing what they know they need to do. I just have to tell you, when I was contacted many times about coming back to Grace to be the pastor, and as I prayed about that and I sought counsel from godly friends, I had a number of friends tell me, Mark, you don't want to follow a man that's been somewhere 50 years and is beloved as Brother Nichols. There's no way you can live up to their expectations. They said, Mark, you can't go into a situation like that where there's so much that needs to change, and yet there's going to be people that want the change and people that don't. And I want to tell you, you see, the devil tried to cause me to be fearful and intimidate me and make me think that, you know, here's the voice of the accuser saying, they're not going to like you. They say, well, there's some truth in that. You know, that's the way the devil always works. He always mixes in a little truth. There are some people that don't like me. Can you imagine? Listen, some people are going to hate the changes. They're going to get upset and get bitter over it. I know it. Listen, there's always some truth in what the devil says, but he twists things and he lies to try to keep us from doing what God has called us to do, from doing what God has put in our heart to do, to keep us from obeying God. And he uses fear. He tries to intimidate to keep you from doing what God says to do. He'll use the fear of rejection. Use fear to get you to make compromises. And much of the time in using fear, he does it through deception. He's an expert liar and a deceiver. He'll twist the truth to make you think that you can't win. He'll twist the truth to try to cause you to be fearful of the bully. Bullies use isolation. They like to isolate. They like to catch somebody alone. Or even if they're in a crowd, they'll try to make that victim, that person, feel like they're all alone. That's the way a bully works. A bully doesn't approach someone when the policeman is standing by. A bully doesn't mess with you when Big Brother's with you. No, a bully wants to isolate. And that's exactly the way the devil is. He always tries to isolate people away from other believers. You might even be in church this morning in a crowd of people, and yet the devil can make you feel isolated, like nobody else cares about your situation. Nobody else understands. You're all on your own. That is exactly how the bully works. He likes to isolate. It's amazing how many people just when trouble comes and the devil is attacking them and working against them, they'll drop out of church. That's exactly the way Satan works, is to try to isolate you from other believers. I had a friend in high school, came to class one day with a big mark above his eye, and I said, "What happened to you?" And he said, "I was walking down the hall," and it wasn't in between classes, it was during class, between the normal class change time. He said, "I was walking down the hall, and I walked by these two guys, and one of them kicked me in the stomach, and the other one kicked me in the face." And I said, "What did you do?" He said, "I just kept walking as fast as I could." And this particular young man was a good Christian, and he was very, very passive. But you see, the reason that these bullies attacked him is because he was all alone. And you know how often a bully works that way. Satan also likes to catch you when you're all alone, make you feel isolated, when there's nobody there to stand with you. Bullies will demean you. They will try to make you feel weak and small and insignificant. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He'll try to make you feel guilty. He'll try to make you feel condemned so that you will willingly accept his abuse. He'll try to make you think that God can't use you because you've made too many mistakes. He'll try to make you think, he'll tell you, listen, the promises, those blessings aren't for you. You've blown it. You're not deserving. You're not worthy of that. Look at all the things that you've done wrong. You see, he's the accuser of the brethren. He'll pull out some weakness in your life or personality fault, and he'll begin to bring that up to you over and over and over to try to beat you down and demean you. See, on the playground, they say things like, chicken, wimp, loser. And the devil says, you're a failure. You're a sinner. You're an alcoholic. You're an adulterer. The devil will accuse you and try to beat you down and make you think that the promises and the blessings of the Word of God are not for you. He'll demean you, put you down, so that you'll accept his abuse, so that you won't fight back when you're attacked. A bully always looks for an easy target. You see, a bully doesn't pick out the tough guy. Bully looks for the easy target. Looks for the weak. Bully looks for the one that's, as I said, isolated by themselves. Bully looks for somebody that's not ready. 1 Peter 5:8, we read it once. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. See, Satan looks for those that are discouraged. He looks for those that are unaware of his devices and unprepared. So I want to encourage you this morning to be ready, be aware, be prepared. How do we deal with the bully? First, I want to tell you, you don't have to be afraid of the bully. If there are areas of your life that you're allowing your fears, you're allowing anxiety, you're allowing the situation and circumstances of life to manipulate you, it's time for you to throw off that fear and trust God. Listen, that's the answer. We need to realize that as we trust God, we don't have to be afraid. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you." Listen, as we trust the Lord, really rely upon God and keep our minds upon him, we can have the peace of God. You see, the enemy comes just as the bully comes and he says, "Give me your lunch money." The enemy comes and he wants to take your peace and your joy. He wants to steal your peace and your joy. But if you will keep your mind on God and trust him, you can have a perfect peace. Don't allow the fear of the enemy. Don't allow the fear of circumstances and the situations that he works against you. Don't allow those things to keep you from trusting God. Realize the Lord has given you power over all the power of the enemy. Listen, when we're serving God, we're living for God, we can claim this verse for us, just as it was for the disciples. Luke 10 and 19, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." We don't have any reason to be intimidated by the devil. He doesn't have any power over us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." You see, that old anxiety tries to come over you. You need to confess and claim and stand upon that scripture. "I don't have a spirit of fear." One translation says timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might and not allow the enemy to put that fear over on us. I read a story, I'll just share it with you. According to the Denver Post, it tells about this one woman who had sheep, and she couldn't ever stop the coyotes from stealing and killing her sheep. And she tried electric fences and different kinds of odor sprays and things to keep the coyotes away, but nothing worked until she heard about using a llama. And a llama is kind of a strange little animal. When they see something that they are not accustomed to, something they're not familiar with, they don't turn and run away like a lot of animals. They pick their head up and they'll just walk straight towards it. Well, the coyotes turned and ran. That kind of aggressive behavior just scares the coyotes away. And you know what? The same thing is true with a bully, and especially with the devil. He's not really looking for a fight, at least not a real fight. He wants one that he knows that he can win. But if we will stand up and not be afraid and not be intimidated, but instead face him, we can overcome. You see, when David faced Goliath, here were all the men of Israel, all the army of Israel, were afraid and intimidated by this giant man. Well, in the natural, who wouldn't be? But David shows up on the scene, and he is not afraid. Now, I want to explain this to you. That doesn't mean it never crossed his mind. You see, all of us have to deal with fear. Every one of us has to deal with the possibility of the situation not going in our favor. All of us have anxieties and fears that come against us. But the difference in David is even though people were saying, "You're just a boy, there's no way you can fight him," David put his trust in God. He wasn't counting on himself. He was counting on God. And he was resting in God's power. And so when he faced off Goliath, he didn't try to sneak attack him. No, the Bible says that he ran to meet him. He was bold and aggressive, and he ran to meet him. And the Lord gave him the victory that day. By the way, I love this line from King James. It says, he told Goliath, he said, "This day I will smite thee and take thine head from thee." He wasn't afraid. He chose to put aside the fears and instead trust God. And I encourage you, listen, when the devil comes against your family, when the devil tries to bring sickness on you, when you're worried and concerned about your finances, then be bold and aggressive and stand your ground. Every time that the enemy brings some intimidation or fear or attack against you, you ought to just consider that your call to prayer. It's time to fight. It's time to be aggressive against the forces of darkness. Yes. But don't allow fear to control you. It's not from God. God works through faith. Satan operates through fear. Just refuse to bow to fear. Now, I had a few incidents, a few run-ins with a bully when I was in high school. I remember one time I was standing in the lunch line, and this young man was just going down the line, and I watched as he did it to the four or five people in front of me, and he would say, "Give me some money." And all the ones in front of me, I watched them as they all lied and said, "I don't have any money." Now, I'm telling you, they weren't all getting free lunches. They were standing in the lunch line. They had money. But they all, out of fear, just said, "I don't have any money." And I just couldn't do it. When he got to me, I said, "No." He said, "I'll whip you." I'm cleaning it up for you. He said, "I'll whip you." I said, "You might, but you still won't get any money." Was I scared? Yeah. But I wasn't going to be intimidated by the bully. Let me tell you what the bully did. He left the line. Somebody's got to stand up to the devil and not allow him to bully and push you. Amen. Now sometimes, if you're dealing with an earthly bully, that's a different story. But I'm telling you, our real battle is with the devil. And we need to stand up and not be afraid, not be intimidated, and not give in to his devices. He uses fear. You know, I love that story in the Bible of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as the king Nebuchadnezzar commanded that everyone bow down and worship the image that he had set up. And these three young men refused to bow. He tried to intimidate them with fear. He said, "You'll be thrown into the fiery furnace." They heated it up. They got it ready. "You're going to burn up." But they would not bow. They absolutely refused to bow. They said, "We are not careful to answer you in this matter. We believe our God is able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we won't bow." Church, that needs to be our attitude, that our God will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we will not be intimidated. We will not back down. We will not bow to the devices of the devil. We're going to stand our ground against him. Don't give in to those fears. See, we need to remember that the enemy so often uses deception. That is one of his number one tools. He uses deception all the time to try to make people afraid. He's like the Wizard of Oz. Y'all remember the Wizard of Oz? It's been a while since I've seen it. But I remember they went in and here was this wizard, a great big huge ugly head talking to them and scaring them with this big booming voice. And then Toto pulls back the curtain. And there's this weak, wimpy little man. We need to pull back the curtain on the devil. And let me tell you how you do that. Through the Word of God. Don't be deceived. See, he'll try to pull the wool over your eyes, right? He'll try to trick you into thinking that he's got power over you. That he's going to get the best of you. And as I said, now I want you to understand, I'm not talking about seeing the devil and everything, but you do need to realize that in your life and situation and circumstance and even through other people that the devil is at work. And we need to pull the curtain back on him by the Word of God. Jesus said, "If you continue in my Word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And I tell you, whatever your battle, your struggle, there is a promise, a blessing from the Word of God that's for you that you can hang on to. And if you'll really dig into the Word and know the truth, you can be free from that fear tactic of the enemy. Got to stay in the Word. Don't allow the bully to isolate you. He'll try to get you off by yourself. And as I said, even in a crowd of people like you are this morning, he'll try to make you feel like you're all alone. That is such a tactic of the devil. No, don't allow the enemy to get you alone, but instead, you need to stay hooked up with other strong believers. Now listen, all of us know that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That Jesus is always with us. That he will never leave us nor forsake us. We are never truly alone. Jesus is with us. We don't have to be afraid. No matter where we are, Jesus is with us. Our big brother is with us. He's going to back us up. Yes. But we also need to realize that all of us need the strength, the encouragement from our brothers and sisters in the Lord. All of us need somebody else to stand with us and fight with us sometime. I've never forgotten this story. It was probably 20 years ago when I heard this story, but I've never forgotten it. Brother Savelle told about how that he was going through a difficult time, a great battle, and he said that Brother Copeland, he was talking to Brother Copeland on the phone one day, and Brother Copeland said, "Jerry, you just go out and enjoy the day. We're praying for you. We're fighting for you today." And you know what? We all need people to fight for us at times. And we need to realize how valuable, how important those kinds of relationships are. That we're not alone. We're not just standing on our own. But there are other believers that are praying with us and standing with us. Don't let the devil isolate you. See, he'll try to work you, get you out of church, try to separate you off from strong spiritual people. Don't be isolated. See, the bully is not going to attack you. Earthly bully is not going to attack you when you're standing with a strong group of people. He's going to isolate you first. The same thing is true of our spiritual enemy. He wants to isolate you. try to separate you out. Don't allow it. Realize that your big brother Jesus is with you, but also realize you need those spiritual relationships with others, that you're not in this alone, and you were never intended to fight by yourself. No, we need to rely upon our brothers and sisters in the Lord. There's a wonderful story in the book of Nehemiah. I wish I had time to read the whole book, but there's a wonderful story in the book of Nehemiah about how Nehemiah and the children of Israel began to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But they had some enemies. They had some scoffers, people who said, "You're never going to accomplish it. You can't do it." People that accused them and made fun of them. And as the people stood up against these accusers and they prayed and sought God, well, the heat was just turned up, because then their very lives were threatened. But rather than back down in fear, half of the men would work to rebuild the wall, while the other half would stand by with their swords. And that's the way it ought to be in the body of Christ, that we will defend one another, we will stand and fight for and with one another, but we will not allow the enemy to defeat us in what God has called us and given us to do. Amen. It takes all of us standing together, fighting together. Don't allow the enemy to isolate. He will accuse you, try to bully you by demeaning you, try to tell you that you're weak, try to tell you that you're unworthy, undeserving. But you need to remember that Jesus died for your sins, that because He did, there is therefore now no condemnation unto them who are in Christ Jesus. He'll come and He'll try to bring up your sins and your failures and your mistakes and tell you that you've messed up too much, that God can't use you or that God won't bless you. And He starts talking to you about your past. What are you supposed to do? You start telling Him about His future. Amen. He's going in the lake of fire. It's all over for Him. It's already written in the book. But church, we need to realize that our past is under the blood of Jesus. And when He brings all that up and He starts telling you about your weaknesses and your problems, you just need to stand on the Word of God, that you've been washed in the blood, that you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 and 33 says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God that justifies." You see, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He is ever making intercession for us. He is our advocate with the Father. And though Satan may accuse us, he may try to demean us, Jesus Christ defends us. He is the one who has made us righteous. It's not about what we have done or haven't done. It's what Jesus has done on the cross. Amen. Oh, He loves us that much. Don't allow the enemy to demean you and put you down. God loves you. You're the apple of His eye. You're His beloved. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us, has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." He calls us His very own sons and daughters. We're the bride of Christ, the church that Jesus loves, that He's coming back for. Don't allow the enemy to beat you down and demean you. Listen, you need to know what the Word of God says. When the enemy comes and he brings his accusations against you, you need to know what God says about you. He's the one that defends you. Isaiah 54 and 17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." See, we're not self-righteous. We're not good. We're not worthy. We're not deserving. But it is God who has made us righteous, and it's He who defends us. And the enemy brings in his accusations, but we need to be bold. We need to know that God is for us. Remember what he says about you. The bully looks for the weak. We need to stay strong in the Lord. Some guys, young teenagers, they get picked on. They go work out. They want to beef up so nobody can pick on them anymore. Well, we need to be strong in the Lord. You know, we know this, but it has nothing to do with physical stature. I've met some little ladies that were powerhouses for the Lord. Amen? No, you can be strong in the Lord if you will stay prayed up, stay in the Word of God, stay ready. Keep yourself built up and strong in the Lord. As the Bible says, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. In fact, we're going to read it. Go, just kind of work our way through it quickly. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." It's His power. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You see, we got to be ready to stand. The devil is always devising, always scheming the wiles of the devil. He says, "Put all the armor on so you'll be ready to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, I'm not going to take a long time to teach about the armor of God this morning, but just want to kind of go down through here quickly. But the first thing you need to see is he keeps saying, stand. Stand is the position of the fighter. That's why he's saying to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have to be willing to stand up and fight. We don't just lay down and take it. Listen, when you're attacked in your family, in your body, your finances, whatever it is, don't just accept it. The devil brings his accusations against you and tries to don't just accept it, but stand and fight. Be strong in the Lord. Don't cower down, don't back down in fear, but stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Now, we talked about the truth. You know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Listen, if you really know the truth, the devil's not going to be able to get an advantage of you because you're not going to be deceived by him. You know, when Satan came against Jesus and tried to tempt him, every time Jesus quoted the scripture back to him. Satan even tried to twist the scripture and use it against him. But Jesus knew the truth and he spoke the truth. Church, we got to know the truth. Don't be an easy target. Stand, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about that. That we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that He paid the price for our sin to make us righteous by His own precious blood. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. See, there's that peace that passes understanding. The devil wants to steal your peace. But you don't have to give in to that. You don't have to give in to your fears. No, God has given us a peace. He's given us a good news of peace. We need to be telling other people. So much fear and anxiety in our world. I tell you, we need to tell people about the peace of God that belongs to us. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You see, faith overcomes fear. When the devil begins to cast his fiery darts against us, it is our faith that will protect us. It is that shield of faith. You need to keep yourself strong in the Lord and ready for battle so that when an attack comes, your faith is strong enough to quench those darts. Now, if you get in the middle of a battle and you're under attack just all of a sudden, certainly you got to run to God. Where else would you go? But what's even better is to be prepared, to be ready for that battle when it comes, to have your faith already built up, to already be strong in the Word of God and ready for the wiles of the devil. And take the helmet of salvation. You got to know that you know that you know that you are saved, that you belong to Jesus. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is our offensive weapon against the enemy. We don't just sit back and take it, but we know the Word of God. And when we are attacked, when our family's attacked, when fear tries to work its way in, that we take the Word of God and we use it against the enemy. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You see, we got to stay prayed up. Be ready. Stay ready. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on the things that you're believing God for. Don't give up on the promises, but stand your ground and fight. And when you do feel weak or weary, get somebody else to stand with you. You don't know what to do and you're struggling, then go find you a stronger brother or sister in the Lord. Let me give you another earthly example. When I was in high school, freshman in the band, it was kind of a thing with the seniors in the band. They would give all the freshman guys a hard time, hit them on the head with their senior ring and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know why, but one tough guy, he said, "Y'all leave him alone." Nobody touched me. See, you need brothers and sisters that will fight for you. Now, a few years later, when I was a senior, I was on the soccer team, and we were traveling to an out-of-town game, and there was some younger guys there. Same kind of situation. And one of the other senior guys, he went to take this kid had brought a shoebox full of food, and he went to take it from him. And I stepped in, and I helped him. I grabbed it and gave it back to the kid. And he says, "Why don't you be cool?" And I said, "Why don't you be cool?" Well, you know what? The key here is that sometimes we all need somebody that will step in and help us. And so I just want to challenge you, encourage you, build those relationships, find friends. And if you're going through a hard time, don't just take it on your own, but you find you a spiritual friend that will pray with you and encourage you and stand and fight with you. You see, we got to be ready. Stay in church. Stay prayed up. Don't wait until an attack comes against you. Don't wait until you find yourself beat down and on the down and out. But stay prayed up. Stay in the Word of God. Keep your mind renewed with the Word, filled with the truth of God's Word. You know, Jesus told the disciples one day when they tried to cast out a devil and they couldn't do it, he told them, "This kind comes out only by prayer and fasting." You got to be prayed up and ready. They weren't ready for that battle that day, but Jesus was. "This kind comes out only by prayer and fasting." We need to stay prayed up and ready. You know, ultimately, our true battle is won or lost in prayer. That's where we win our battle, is in prayer. So stay in prayer, stay in the Word. It is the truth that sets you free. The devil can't bully a person that really knows the truth. And if you'll fight, if you'll stand up and fight, whatever intimidation, whatever attack, whatever circumstance he is using against you, if you'll stand up and fight the good fight of faith, I want to tell you this morning, you'll win the victory every time. So don't allow the bully to push you around, but realize that victory already belongs to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That victory belongs to us.